Do you know if you're someone who qualifies for special enrollment period in the Affordable Care Act? My guest today is Mary Ann Eterno. She's the president of Government Relations for Guarantee Trust Life Insurance. So, Mary Ann, now in this series, we're going to talk about the special enrollment periods. First, why are there special enrollment periods?
Well, Melanie, there are special enrollment periods because life happens and nothing goes the way we ever plan it to. So if you lose your job and you lose your coverage, if you get divorced or if you get married or if you have a kid, all those things that life throws at us, there are special enrollment periods for those because they're not always going to happen during open enrollment from November 1st to January 31st.
Is the enrollment, the special enrollment, the same time every year?
No. Well, regular enrollment is. Regular enrollment is supposed to start on November 1st every year. Now, the government can change that date. Sometimes they move it up into October if they think, like last year or the year before when there were going to be problems with the website because it was still so new, so they gave people more time. And it's supposed to end January 31st, but again, last year they extended it almost into April because of problems with the websites. But the special enrollment periods that are referred to as life events, those are a 60-day window. So if you get married for 60 days after your marriage, you have a special enrollment period where you can join your spouse's coverage or you can go get coverage in the exchange. The exchanges are actually open all year long for those events.
How do you know if you qualify for that special enrollment period?
The best thing to do, and I tell folks this all the time, is go on the government's website. There is more information there than you could ever want to have. And if you're up at night and you can't sleep, dial up healthcare.gov. So it's all one word, HealthCare, healthcare.gov. And just about any question you can have, there will be an answer to, including the qualifications for special enrollment periods.
What about kids, our college kids, our teens? You have college kids, I have college kids. Do they need to have insurance? Do we need to be enrolling them in the Affordable Care Act?
Everybody needs to have coverage, no matter your age or station in life. So while it used to be that when a child was in college, there were certain exceptions made for them, no more. Now, if you are in college, you still need to be covered by insurance of some form. The Affordable Care Act does allow parents to keep children on their coverage until they are 26 years old, and that's a federal law now. So in every state, it has to be at least until you're 26. Some states have gone farther than that. In New Jersey, folks can keep kids on their policies till they're 30. So check with your state, but it's at least, it's at least 26. And that's whether they live at home or not, whether they're in school or not. They could be married. You don't have to declare them as a dependent on your tax form. It's just basically, are they your child and are they yet 26 years old? Those are the only requirements.
Just one more reason for kids to be dependent on their parents, like auto insurance. We get to kick them off at some point here. Now, what if you lose your job or your insurance? Because COBRA can be quite expensive. So what do you do if you lose a job in the middle of the year and it's still some months before open enrollment? What happens then?
Well, then you have a special enrollment period. You can go on COBRA. You're right. It is very expensive because that's the sum total of your insurance premium, the part you were paying and the part your employer was paying. So it's a real eye-opener for folks. But if that's not a financial option for you, then you do have those 60 days to go onto the exchange and find a policy that's going to be suitable for your circumstances, for you, your wife, your kids, whoever there happens to be in your house that just lost coverage. And even though you were the job holder, everybody qualifies for that special enrollment period if they were on your policy.
If you lose your job or you have a job that doesn't pay a lot, there's government subsidies. That's one of the points of this, correct? What are the subsidies? What does that mean? And how do you know if you qualify for them?
Again, the website will tell you there are tools where you can punch in your information, but a subsidy is basically a helping hand from the government to pay your premium, and that's all it counts for, is your premium payment. So let's just say for round numbers, your insurance through the exchange is going to cost $200 a month, and that's just an example, and you qualify for a 50% subsidy, now the federal government will send 50% of that, $100, to the insurance company, and you'll be billed for only $100. It's not like you have to collect it from the government at some point. You don't have to put all the money up front and then get it back later. You are not required to pay all of that money. Some of it will show up then as a tax credit. So the premium subsidy can also be a tax credit. And there is one plan. The plans available on the exchange are coded by color, bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. And there is one silver plan in every state that is required to provide a subsidy for your out-of-pocket costs too, your deductibles and your coinsurance. So if you have problems with those out-of-pocket costs, you look for that silver plan that has what they call a cost-sharing subsidy. Otherwise, you get a premium subsidy, and not everybody's going to qualify for it. And you can go on the exchange and not get a subsidy. I mean, just because you don't qualify for a subsidy doesn't mean you can't buy that insurance.
So how do they figure out if your income changes? What does the government look at? What income do they look at to figure out if they are like a modified adjusted gross income? What are they looking at? How do they figure all this out, Marianne?
It's based on the poverty level. It is based on the federal poverty level. So if your income matches whatever your state has said is up to the federal poverty level. In most states now, it's 133%. If you make at least 133% of the federal poverty level, up to, in some states, 400%, in some states it's 230%, then you qualify for a subsidy. If you make under 130% of the federal poverty level for your situation, then you qualify for Medicaid in your state, if your state has expanded Medicaid to that extra 30%, basically. So it's complicated. It really is. I'm not going to lie here. It gets really confusing.
I mean, how do they, you mentioned that they pay the insurance company if you've got a subsidy of, say, half and the 200, just those theoretical numbers we were chucking out there. So they pay the insurance company. How do they keep track of all of this? Is this a mess? We only have about a minute left, a minute and a half.
Yes.
How do
yes,
they keep track of it? It's a mess.
Well, right now, to be honest, they're not keeping track of it very well. Most of the back-end systems in the exchanges have not been sufficiently built and tested. So insurance companies are doing a lot of this on faith. There aren't good checks and balances yet to determine people's eligibility. So it's a lot of coming back at the back end and folks finding out later they weren't eligible when they were told they were, or they are eligible and they were told they weren't. So it is still a big mess, and the support systems aren't there for the software and the programs that the insurance companies need to connect with the federal government to get this all right. But folks still have coverage. Insurance companies are making sure that folks still have coverage if they apply. They'll take it up with the federal government later, but they want to make sure people get their claims paid.
Well, we have so much in this series really to cover, because you are absolutely brilliant when it comes to this. More than anyone I talk to, you know about this stuff. So I definitely want to get to the reconciliation and when we file our taxes and how do we know. But in the last 20 seconds, Marianne, your best advice about special enrollment.
All is not lost. Go to healthcare.gov. If something bad or wonderful happens to you, there is an option out there for you. Go to healthcare.gov and put in what you search on, I got married, I got divorced, whatever happened, and it'll tell you where to go. There are options.
There are options. Everybody does need to enroll. Everybody does need to have health insurance. It may be confusing, but that's what we're here to help you out with in this series on the Affordable Care Act and what it means to you. If you missed any of this, listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. Look it up, because we're featuring it on our homepage. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening, and stay well.